There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. This is a special weekend podcast number 576, and you know what that means. Interview, and this time it's with Mr. Trevor Carlin. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. This conversation took place at Alton Park last month. My thanks to Mr. Carlin for his time. And he has been in motor racing pretty much all his life. And he is seeing a lot of immense talent go through his team. Last year when Robert Wickens won the championship and Jarek Vaughan, your homeboy, was second, they were both with Carlin. This year he is running Carlos Sainz Jr. You already know what I think about him. Last year he had Felipe Nasr, who won the championship with him. So he sees a lot of good talent go through his teams. He has a team in GP2, World Series by Renault, and a British F3 also. And he told me, which was kind of interesting, obviously he has worked here in the U.S. Previously and have enjoyed living and working here. He said that if all things work out, he may have a Carlin Motorsports IndyCar team in the very near future. So that will be very exciting. So I want to thank him again and hope people enjoy this conversation.
Here with Trevor Carlin, boss man of Carlin Motor Racing. Sir, first of all, congratulations on a 1-2-3 today in the British F3. How are things going for you and your team?
Well, it's obviously quite well after that. Yeah, we're very pleased. It's we've had a good preparation over the winter. Good bunch of drivers, mostly second year guys, so we expect them to be at the front, really.
Okay. Now, England is the centre of motor racing. What was your introduction to the beautiful world of motor racing?
Well, it wasn't so beautiful when I joined it. I started off as a junior mechanic van driver for a tiny Formula Ford company, so I didn't know anything about mechanicking or anything like that, but I just slowly worked my way through everything and somehow ended up with my own team. I don't know quite how, but I did.
And how did you develop interest in motor racing? Was there any interest in your family?
Yeah, my uncles loved cars. My granddad had car garages for road cars and things. My uncles loved racing, and it was them that had the Formula Ford team, so I used to go along at the weekends and watch, and it sort of got hooked, really.
Great. Now, did you ever try your hands behind the wheel like Colin Chapman and Mr. Eddie Jordan?
No, I wanted to, but I was working in the business and realised how expensive it was, and realised that there was no way I was ever going to have enough money to do it properly, so decided to just have it as a job.
Now, three nations, Britain, Brazil and Finland, produce a lot of good drivers. What is their secret of success, in your opinion?
Well, a lot of it is to do with the amount of drivers. I mean, in England and Britain, you've got a massive motor racing culture, from club racing through to professional racing, so you've got loads of British drivers. Brazil, they love racing because of Emerson Fittipaldi in it and Senna, so anyone that's got any money and any hope wants to be either a soccer player or a racing driver. And Finland, I think it's totally down to them driving on ice every day. They just get natural car control.
Yeah. And talking of Finlandia, there is a very soft-spoken and low-key driver from that nation who also raced for your team. Please tell us about your experience with one and only Kimi Raikkonen.
Well, Kimi only did 2 days testing with us, and that was to get him prepared for his Formula One Sauber test, because he'd never driven anything bigger than a Formula Renault car. So we took him to Pembrey for 2 days in our little F3 car, and it was wet. Then he drove round and round and just was absolutely incredible. His car control was fantastic to see even then. He didn't say a lot, He just drove the car fast and then stopped, looked at the data, and went back to the hotel. He was laid back then as he is now.
Pretty simple guy. Okay, another of your driver, Naren Karthikeyan, media calls him a paid driver, and he is the driver who gave your team your first ever victory in British F3. How do you rate him among the current F1 drivers?
Well, to be fair to Naren, I mean, you have to take into account his age now. But last season, when he was doing the Friday drive, he was as quick as Daniel Ricciardo, and sometimes quicker. This year, he's driving a car that is basically not really any quicker than a GP2 car against proper Formula 1 cars, so he's doing an incredible job just to keep it on the track. I see Naren at the Grand Prix because we do GP2, and to me, Naren looks fitter and stronger and more focused now than he ever has done. I think if he was given the chance to drive a top car, he would have run at the front. Not necessarily world champion, but in the right car, he could have won races.
Okay. He got a lot of flack from Sebastian Vettel, who was getting very flustered first two races. What's your take on that incident?
Well, I think it was just a bit of a misunderstanding. I think Naren was obviously driving a difficult car in slippy conditions. He gave Sebastian room to pass. I think he expected Sebastian to pull away a little bit quicker, and as Naren pulled back over, they just touched. So I think it was a bit of a misunderstanding. It was a nothing incident. Unfortunately, it cost Sebastian a puncture, which damaged his race. But it was no one's fault, really. Just one of those things.
Yeah. Now, today you have a team in all major series, British F3, GP3, World Series by Renault, and GP2. What is the ideal path for a young driver coming out of karting?
It's difficult. At the moment, it seems to me that Formula Renault 2-litre is the best training ground for these young lads. It's quite a fast car, quite a lot of grip, a lot of power, relatively well-priced. There's some good championship. Unfortunately, the British one's gone at the moment, but with the NEC and the Alps and the Euro Cup, it's fiercely competitive. It's a bit like karting at the top end. So I think, personally, Formula Renault 2-litre is a must-do, then followed by Formula 3, then really World Series, GP2, F1.
Great. Now, both Kubica and Vettel bypassed GP2 to get to F1. Apart from dealing with Bruno Michel, what is the advantage of going GP2 instead of World Series by Renault?
Well, both championships have got pluses. I mean, the great thing about GP2 is on the Grand Prix support. You're running on the same tyres. You're getting seen by the F1 team bosses. It doesn't sound a lot, but the F1 guys are so busy, they don't have time to... They don't know what's going on in motor racing outside their little world. So when they see a GP2 race and a driver, it sticks in their mind. So GP2's good for that point of view. World Series, there's better value for money. So they've both got strengths and weaknesses.
You know, one thing I want to ask you, in American racing, which you are very familiar with, there is this very common trend. You win a race and the race result post how much the money was paid to the winner, second place, NASCAR, IndyCar. I mean, it's a normal American tradition. GP2, I never see any figures. And I'm just using GP2.
There's no prize money.
In GP2, there's no prize money?
There's no prize money. So, if you win a race, you get nothing.
The team and the driver get nothing?
Nothing.
What about if you win the championship?
If you win the championship, I think there is a Pirelli or a Bridgestone bonus, but it's only in the region of €100,000 or something. It's not even 10% of the budget.
Wow.
It's a tiny amount of money.
Wow. What about World Series by Renault?
Same deal, no prize money.
Wow. Okay, I'm very surprised at that. I thought they just don't advertise.
No.
Okay, last year you had two Tigers in one cage, both very good drivers, Robert Wickens from Canada and Mr. Francais Jean-Éric Vergne. How do you keep harmony between such competitive drivers?
From a team's point of view, what you have to do is treat them equally. But it does depend on the Tigers. If they can't deal with each other, in the team, then it's going to cause a problem. But very luckily, Robert and Jean-Éric were incredible competitors, but also incredible men, because they worked in total harmony, really, until the last race. And I mean literally the last race, when they collided and the championship went to Robert. But I think that I predicted that would happen, and it did. So, but they were great guys, and I'm sure they're still very good friends.
Yeah. What is the most common mistakes young drivers make in early part of their single-seater career?
Trying to do too much too soon, either by jumping categories before they're ready, before they've done enough in the junior categories, or trying to drive faster than they're capable of before they're ready. So it's a common thing, you try and do too much. What you need in motor racing is patience. And it's like any sport, patience and practice makes perfect. You can't just arrive and be super quick. Kimmy managed it, but I don't think anyone else ever has.
Yeah, that was amazing what he did. Now, last year you also had two Tigers, both very good, Kevin Magnussen and Felipe Nasr. Tell us what you think about these two young drivers.
Well, they're absolutely both Formula One stars in the making. Totally different characters. Both quite laid-back people out of the car. Felipe especially, he's Brazilian, he's really cool. But Felipe's cool in the car. He thinks about it, he drives always just under the limit until he needs to. He's a bit like Alan Prost, Jenson Button style, super fast, does all he needs to do to win. He doesn't see the point in risking the car or doing anything stupid. Kevin is more a seat of the pants, flat out Lewis Hamilton, Ayrton Senna type driver. And his dad actually, Jan. Jan's an incredible driver. So I would say Kevin and Felipe are a bit like having Lewis and Jensen. We have the same issue as McLaren had.
Let me ask you a question. You're a motor racing professional. What happened at McLaren in 2007? Do you think there was something Ron Dennis could have done differently to keep harmony, or how would you have handled that situation?
I don't. It's very difficult to say, not being inside the team and seeing what goes on. You only know what you read. I have some friends at McLaren. I think the biggest problem was Fernando, being a double world champion, going into the team, expected to have number one status and the team fully behind him. And I think everyone expected that because Lewis was a rookie. What no one really expected was Lewis to be so fast from race one. And this unsettled Fernando. And I think he got a little bit flustered and took things the wrong way. I think he thought the McLaren were favouring Lewis, and me knowing McLaren like I do, that absolutely wouldn't happen. They treat both drivers 100% equally. So I think Fernando overreacted to the situation, and then once that happened, there was no way it would come back. He wanted full number one status, and he realised he couldn't have it.
You also had a little involvement with the Formula One Midland team, Jordan team. How was that experience?
It was interesting. I learned an awful lot on how a Formula One team works, how the structure, different departments. But what was very obvious, which I didn't like, was the fact that you're turning up every weekend to try and qualify 17th or 18th. Certainly in those days, there was you knew where you were going to qualify. That's not why I want to go motor racing. It may be easier and cheaper to do F3, but at least we have a chance of winning in this. If I wanted to do Formula One, I'd want to win. And with the best will in the world, you'd need 10 years and €1 billion to make that dream a reality. So it's not going to happen. So I learned a lot, but I like the chance. I like the chance to win. You don't have to win every race, but I like the possibility.
Yeah. Now, talking of billions of dollars, since you have a team in all major series below F1, can you give us a brief idea of what is budget required for F3 World Series by Renault and GP2? Approximate number?
Roughly, you'd look at about between £500,000 and £600,000 for British Formula 3. That's including the testing. World Series by Renault is in the region of €1.2 million. GP2 between about €1.7 and €2 million, depending on the team competitiveness. GP3 about 550,000 euros.
Okay. Now you've worked in American racing also. Can you tell us a little bit about your time in the US?
I absolutely loved it. It was in the 80s, so it was a long time ago. I like the atmosphere in the paddock. The weather's normally pretty good, which helps. The great fans, great enthusiasm at the races, good crowds. It's a bit more of a relaxed atmosphere, whereas in Europe it's pretty cutthroat, it's pretty hardcore, a lot of pressure to perform, because you've got to deliver for these kids. The second isn't good enough for them, so it's not good enough for their sponsors and their managers. So we're I'd like to go and do American racing, and we're doing a feasibility study now on entering Champ Car in the future. Now it's the new car, we're looking at that. Definitely not this year, but maybe 2013 we might start doing some testing.
Will it be in conjunction with the already established team, or will it be a complete Carlin IndyCar team?
It'll be a complete Carlin team. We would of course employ American staff, because I've got a lot of friends who I've worked with in the past who now work in America in IndyCars and NASCAR, etc. So I can put a very good team together of people already based in the States.
Well, that'll be awesome, and it'll be Carlin Motorsports?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, great. And last question is very important. As a lifelong fan and a gentleman involved in motor racing, if you had a team in Formula One and you could choose two drivers from any era, what two drivers will make it to your team?
Two drivers from any era? To be honest, I don't really know the classic racing so much, you know, back in earlier than the 70s. I read about it. Obviously, Fangio has to rate as one of the greatest drivers of all time. If it was to be driving modern racing cars, then probably of his age and his physique, he wouldn't be suitable for current racing cars. So you'd have to say Fangio would be one of the greatest drivers of all time. But if you wanted drivers now, I would have to go with Senna and either Vettel or Kubica.
Now, talking of Senna, were you involved in racing when he raced in British F3?
I was doing Formula Ford when he announced his retirement in Formula Ford in 1981. I was at Brands Hatch when he won the race and then said he was quitting. So I saw him win his first F3 race at the end of 1982. I don't really remember 83, or maybe I was away from the scene for that year. Everyone knew that he was the one.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely, everyone.
What really stood out about him that everybody thought he was going places?
Everyone just said Senna is the greatest driver they've ever seen. Everywhere, really? From in Formula Ford, Formula Ford 2000, Formula 3. It was just, everyone knew he was destined to go all the way.
Wow. Now, among the young drivers who are racing today and not in Formula One, who are some of the, you think, future superstars?
That is difficult, because a lot of the ones I've worked with recently have gone into Formula One. Ricciardo, they're already there, so it's awesome. Rate Kevin and Felipe. I think they've got a great future ahead of them. It's tricky. There's some very good drivers. The little Estonian driver, Kevin Korjus, mm-hmm. in World Series, he's a nice kid, and he's got a strong future, I believe. There's a lot. It's just who can stand out now. There's a lot of good drivers. To find the next superstars, difficult.
Really appreciate your time. Finally, how about a message to listeners of F1 Weekly? Our podcast has listeners all over the world, quite a few in the UK also.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. I hope it's not too boring listening to me chat. I mean, I absolutely love motor racing, and I'm glad you guys do, because you listen to the blog. Follow British F3, because it's where the young superstars are coming from. There's Formula One stars in this paddock today.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Trevor, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com.